It is Thursday, March 21. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. And it's great to be at Concord Golf Club today for their charity golf day. It sold out weeks ago, so make sure you get involved next year. Get on their website and raising funds today for MS. And here joining us, not too far from his humble abode, well, two or three suburbs away perhaps, across the river, Steve Blocker Roach.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm glad you mentioned about the intro. I wrote that beautifully, didn't I? No, I didn't. I'm only Gina. Hey, double kayaks. I'm glad you brought that up, boys. I was listening before I come on. We went away on a training camp one day, and the great Les Hobbs, we had these double kayaks, and no one wanted to go with me. And Les said, "Bugger it, get in the back, big fella, get in the back." Anyway, about a kilometre up the river, he said, "Mate, are you paddling?" I wasn't paddling. Yes, of course I am, Les. Of course I'm paddling. Hey, boys, and also, you're talking about the tents and all that sort of stuff, right? Mate, I can't. And, mate, congratulations if you love caravanning and all that sort of stuff. I'm exclusive to Four Stars. Now, let's do the math here. You buy a van to tow a caravan. Now, I've got nothing against caravanners. Look, they love doing what they do and all that sort of stuff, the grade, rinse set. It costs you $100,000 to buy a car, and then it costs you another $100,000, say, to buy a good, decent caravan. That's $200,000. That is a lot of four-star hotels that you'd stay on around the place. Do you think? Are you with me, or,
yeah, no,
or
no,
do you like caravan?
No, I'm not a caravan.
Joshy?
I could do it once lot.
A year.
Once a year.
Once a year, I could go on a trip.
Caravan?
Yeah, I could stay.
Loss, you caravan. Can't even get here. How are you going to get to Kilman Gavin or something
Block,
like that?
Look, you didn't have to go on a highway or pay a toll today, Block. And I'm telling you, have you been on this new road?
Yeah.
I understand what everyone is blowing up about. Because it's not signposted well enough.
No, it's not.
And
I
we
agree
need
with
to
you.
Be better here in this city.
And
we held the Olympics, you know, in 2000.
You know the other one? At Des Moines. You know where you go? You can go over and you can go over and miss the lights to go to Anzac Bridge. Or you can go right and go to the airport, right? It's 60 kilometres an hour through a bloody highway. It should be at least 80.
Yes, you're right. It should be 80. But when you enter the
Everyone's
tunnel...
Everyone's moving.
But when you enter the tunnel, it's 60.
No, yes.
It's 60.
You're right.
Because then I looked down and I might have been doing a little bit over 60.
Oh, you're over the speed limit.
And then I thought, there might be cameras here. So then it goes to 80 about 150 metres into the tunnel.
That's
so
right.
Why does it go 60 metres in 60k?
I'll be filthy.
And there's
I'll be contesting.
And there's always a first, right? So I get this thing in the mail saying, we're not going to fine you this time. Because it's 60 at the moment, right? You've done 80, but there's signposts or speed things on there that says 80.
Yeah.
We're not going to fine you this time. Oh, all right, Pat. Well, thank you very much. Well, I mean...
What's that? What happens there? I got one as well. So well, they're pretty much saying they caught you.
They caught you,
but you don't get a fine.
I'll tell you what I do now, boys, and I don't know whether you guys do it. You know when you're approaching lights... And you're unsure
of whether to
of
go,
whether
or
to
not.
Go
when
or
it's
stop.
Turning amber.
Yeah. Like, but every time now I come to a light, I'm very, very,
you're very
cautious,
conservative.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you're right.
And
I'm going amber.
People behind me, I'm worried about someone ramming me because I will stop now on most occasions.
Really?
On amber?
Well, I do, yeah, because I'm worried that I'll go through a light and I don't want to be booked.
Well, I know I'm sweet. Until I see the flash of the light, the camera, you know, I go, oh, not again. Oh, no. That must have been a bit of red in that one.
I've got to read this text from the Wollongong Wolf. Morning, boys. A friend of mine lives on the Central Coast. He had a big night in Sydney. So he took a train to get to Gosford and told his dad to meet at Gosford Station. Well, he fell asleep and ended up in Newcastle. So from Newcastle, he got a train to Gosford and told his dad to wait for him. Once again, he fell asleep and ended up in Sydney at Central again, where his journey started.
Rip Van Winkle.
His dad had to pick him up from Central as there were no more trains for the night. The drive home back to Gosford, Dad was not happy at all. So he started in Central, going to Gosford, Newcastle, back to Central. Dad picks him up.
I could only imagine. I could only imagine how frustrated you would be if my young bloke did that.
How tired can you be?
What's he been doing?
Wake up, mate.
A five-day bender.
Well, he has been down in Sydney. You wouldn't know what he was getting up to. There's plenty of nightclubs down here, Bob.
Are they still going? I haven't been to a nightclub for 100 years. Do those big balls on the ceiling still happen? You know, the sparkly ones? Do they? I don't know. Were they wrong when I used to go?
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
Oh. Yeah. And they're not, what do they call them now? Like, they're not discos anymore. What do they just call
raves.
Them? Raves.
So how do you get the chat to the freewheelers and that? Because the music's that loud. Sign language or something?
It's about the way you got to stand in the corner block.
Yeah.
Stand in the corner and I don't know. If, I'm just asking my mates, but
you're a dancer though, aren't you?
No, I'm not a dancer.
Aren't you?
No.
Why did I think you were a dancer?
Because of his energy. He never stops. Look, he can't sit down.
I saw him dance one night, but he didn't realise until it was too late that there wasn't actually a dance floor. It was a swimming pool.
Yeah.
I won't name the venue.
There's only probably one that can be.
He went to put his foot on what he thought was a clear dance floor.
Yeah.
But it was a pool.
What, and it fell in.
Pool. It was a shallow pool. Yeah. Very shallow pool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yes, quite embarrassing.
He'd had a couple.
Yeah, I could imagine.
A couple. It's
An
easy mistake, I feel, at that stage.
Yeah.
What about when you do something like that embarrassing, you hope no one's watching?
Oh, well.
Yeah, it would have been.
There's a big crowd there, wasn't
there? Did Benny see it?
I think I rolled with it. He started doing some laps.
Block, are clubs pushing the panic button after round two in regards to team selection, particularly in the halves?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, how do you train all off-season or for a couple of years when a young kid's going to get an opportunity to play halfback and then all of a sudden they play one game and they're gone? You know the one I think they panicked the most with was Hastings. I'm not a huge fan. I think he goes pretty good. They got beat by 1 point, and you get dropped. I don't get it. Mm. They got beat by a field goal.
Well, so, Adam O'Brien, he said he dropped him because they need a spark. He said, they need a spark of energy." was his direct quote yesterday.
But that's the problem, is it? In that position, you blokes played in the halves all your lives. That's the problem with that position. The buck stops with you blokes.
Well, you're the one under pressure, and as we've seen, what, four halfbacks over the opening 2 weeks of competition. Have been gone, not in selections, but yeah, it is hard to think that you can just put all the blame on one person. You think that it's got to be a collective and it's a team performance, but I suppose these days it's getting more ruthless and everyone's position's on the line, in particular a coach, so you've got to react quickly to try and get a result, because if you don't get the result you're after, then you could be out the door.
I felt this was always slowly building with Cogger's form in the grand final last year. Obviously, Newcastle brought him for a reason, but Adam O'Brien's comments of a spark, Jack Cogger isn't going to give you a spark. He'll direct you around the field exactly like Hastings was, but I'm not necessarily sure if he's the guy who's going to spark that team. Like, Ponga needs to be the spark. Bradman Best needs to be. Tyson Gamble's the spark. But look, I will admit, Cogger did change that grand final. He really did. He opened it up for Penrith. So, yeah, I agree, though. Very, very early.
You know, the other thing, too, it's communication. I don't know if you blokes ever got dropped, but, you know, when you get dropped, the communication between you and the coach about what do I have to do to get back. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know whether a lot of them. It seems to me like, you know, they get dropped and go back in reserve grade and do your best, depending on the coach, I suppose. Yeah.
What did you make of the Lachlan Ilias decision?
Yeah, that one I could probably understand, because as Josh said, it's been coming for a little while. You know, there's a lot of things in his game that probably he's not happy with. Number one, the kicking game, mate. If you're a halfback in the when you're winning competitions and playing in big games, the halfback is the bloke who does everything. He controls everything. He's got to have a good kicking game. You ever look over the history of the game, you know, if you haven't got one of your halves that's a good kicker, I think you're in trouble. So I feel sorry for the kid, but as I said, you know, he's got to have communication with his coach to say, mate, what I've got to work on and what have I got to do to get back in the first grade?
Not much sympathy for you, Loz, from Rob the Concord Bulldog. Loz, there's signs everywhere for the exit at Concord. You missed it. Best road in Sydney. I saw Loz one night in the city, introduced myself, said I'm looking for, and apparently you said you're looking for this place called the Ivy, and you walked straight past it, says Rob.
Actually, I was looking for the Ivy, and you were there because we were doing a function.
Oh, function. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember
So we were doing a function, and I was on George Street, and I walked up and down, and I had my phone out.
No, you do have to go down this narrow lane.
Ivy's hard to find. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So I understand. And I did, and these blokes said to me, oh, what are you doing? I said, mate, can you help me? I said, I'm trying to find a place called the Ivy. And they went, you've never been to the Ivy? I said, no. And they went, mate, just straight down here. But honestly, up and down, I couldn't find it. I was walking past.
It's a narrow laneway you got to go down.
But it doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't. It wouldn't.
Ivy's got a pool, doesn't it?
Yeah. I was going to mention it, but you did. Here's one. Steve from Foster fell asleep on the train after 1,000 beers, ended up in Springwood. A girlfriend at the time came up the mountain, dropped me home. Yes, we're now married. It's a good test. Good on you, Steve. Here we go. The grand final rematch tonight in Penrith. Then the market with Tab. The Panthers, $1.27. They're 10.5-point favourites at the line. The Broncos, $3.80. Remembering they won this game, it was round one last year when they met in Penrith, 13-12. Then Penrith won 15-4 at Suncorp in round 12. Then, of course, the grand final, 26-24. To the Panthers, Payne Haas officially out and out for up to 6 weeks with a knee injury, needs minor surgery. Of course, James Fisher-Harris is out with that shoulder injury. No Adam Reynolds either. Block, how do you see it this game? Big ask for the Bronx without Payne Haas.
Yeah, it is, but there's no Fisher-Harris too. I think Fisher-Harris is out for the Penrith side. Gee, I reckon, you know, we weren't allowed to talk about the grand final last year. How would you avoid it this week? That pot would be full that they were putting the coins in if you talked about grand finals. But in saying that, look, mate, no Payne Haas. I don't know. This is a toss of the coin. When you mentioned last year was 13-12, I don't think there'll be that much in this. I think Penrith will win based purely on the fact that they're playing at home. I reckon it'll be a great game of footy. I reckon it'll be very close. But I think Penrith just at home.
I think they lose a lot of go forward without Payne Haas, and not only Haas not being there, but Flegler. I think that 1-2 combination was so successful for them last year. Always a difficult place to win, Penrith Park. Reece Walsh, if they keep an eye out for him and where he is at all occasions, and they limit the impact that he has on the game, I think Penrith win. Cleary's kicking game. I've been really taken with the two centres, Isaac Tungo and Taylor May. Geez, I think they've had good starts to the year.
They're good, aren't they?
Strong. Yeah, very strong centres. So, yes, they lose a bit with Fisher-Harris, but I think they get the job done.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Broncos will have a tough 4 weeks without Payne Haas. I really do. His go forward is what they rely on. Adam Reynolds is out as well, boys. Jock Madden comes in. Love Jock. Good young player. I think he'll be the future half of the Broncos. But, yeah, I think Penrith are about to hit their straps. And what a way to do it against the grand final rematch.
Yep, it's Penrith all round. Let's go to the 6 o'clock game on Fox League on Friday evening. And it's the Warriors at $1.40. up against the Raiders at $3. The Raiders plus 7.5 at the line. Good start to the season for Canberra. Loz was ridiculed, Block, for saying Canberra can make the 8. It is only 2 weeks. They've beaten Newcastle away. That's a good win. They've beaten the Tigers, as expected, last week. This is a good test for them. And a big game for the Warriors, 0-2. Heading home. Well, they're playing in Christchurch. This game was sold out about 3-4 weeks ago. So, in fact, we'll start with Loz. What do you make of the Raiders' chances for this one?
Well, the Raiders have played exactly the way I thought they would, and they'll get better as the season goes on. They've got a great forward pack. They've got some good, exciting young talent in their back line, and they'll get confidence out of winning those first two games. The Warriors are a very good side. what I've seen of the Warriors, their best is good enough to challenge anyone. And I think that they will be desperate in this game. But they're going to have to play well against the Raiders side, who'll scrap. They'll put them under pressure. If they can just be calm, the Warriors, and execute, I think they win this game. But if they get frustrated and try and continually move the ball and it's not happening and the Raiders force them into error, exactly what they did to Newcastle in round one, the pressure will mount on the Warriors, and they need to be played with plenty of control. They just need to be confident, get through their sets, build pressure, and then execute. And if they do that, I think they win. But it'll be a tough game.
Yeah, I agree. But I'll take my hat off to the Raiders. Gee, they're just scrappers. I said to you before, Loz, I really like Canberra because they know what their identity is, and they don't care if they win ugly. And that's how they're going to win a lot of their games this year. That's how they won the first two. And it would not surprise me if this game exactly goes that way. I think a lot of people will think the Warriors will put a score on the Raiders, but I think it'll be close. But the Warriors in Christchurch, they've been unlucky, the Warriors. They just haven't finished the games. And that first game against the Sharks, they were up by 12 points, couldn't finish it. Last week, close, got scored on right on the buzzer. But I love watching the Warriors, how direct they play. Johnson plays square. They all, Tohu Harris plays so square. The teams that can turn the Warriors away a few times, the Warriors get a bit agitated. But if you let them score, score and score, they'll just keep scoring. And they look really good. So if Canberra can hold on in defence, they might be all right. But I think the Warriors will get the win.
I think the big plus for the Warriors is Wade Egan's back into the side. Mm. I think everything starts with him. I think his guile and his understanding about his ruckman and how to bring him onto the ball and all that is, they're not the same side. I will say this about last year, I thought Sean Johnson was absolutely unbelievable. I don't think that he's played anywhere near that yet. I'm not saying that he won't. I just, mate, to me, he's been a little bit kick happy. When they've finally got the ball back, he's kicked on the fourth, and I'm watching it going, mate, why are you kicking, you know? I'm with the boys. The way that they play players in motion, the way that they can score. But, mate, I love the Raiders. They play exactly the same way as what their coach is, a mongrel. Mate, they get down on the ground. They get down in the gutter with you. They want you to play like that. So they drag you down into the gutter, and that's how they play. One kid I'd love to give a that Ethan Strange, Loz. Jeez, what about when he took, like, young kids today with the confidence that they've got? Did you see the try he scored through the middle last week? That is a bloke that's played, you know, 100 games, not a kid that's played a couple. He's going to be a real good player. He reminds me, I always like looking at players and having a look and see who they remind me of. I know he's got a long, long way to go, but in same sort of stature and build and support play and running at the line as Terry Lamb. I'm not saying he's as good as Terry Lamb yet or whether he ever will be, but I like sort of looking at blokes and thinking, gee, he reminds me of that bloke or he reminds me of that bloke. So I think the Warriors will be desperate. They've been mighty unlucky first couple of games, and for that reason, at home, I think they might. I think it'll be closer than people think, but I think they might just clip the Raiders.
Walker's in the house. We're at the Concord Golf Club this morning. Charity Golf Day, raising funds and awareness for MS. Okay, we're up to the big one on Friday night, tomorrow night at Allianz Stadium. The Roosters and South. The Roosters $1.65 with tab, $2.25. The Bunnies +3.5 at the line. Luke Keir is out. Sandon Smith comes into the halves. Block Jared Waria Hargreaves. Game 300. As far as the, well, let's say since the 2000, where does he rate in props that have played the game?
Oh, mate, he's got to be right up there. I'll ask the boys in that too in a minute about blokes playing in the front row. Now, there's a difference between playing in the front row and playing. Like, when I look at Rio Hargreaves, he plays every week, mate. Like, he puts, mate, he picks the biggest alpha in the other side and goes, you know what, we're going to go at it today. Right? So, mate, to do that 300 times, like, it's a big effort in the NRL to play 100 games. Imagine playing 300. Unbelievable effort. I saw him as a young kid playing rugby union against men too. And he was, mate, he was unbelievable. Straight away Manly signed him. And, mate, ever since then, a humble, nice bloke off the field, but a warrior on the field. And, you know, got anger management problems, as all front rowers do on the field. But 300 games, like Loz and Joshy, you play with some great ones. You know, you probably play with some great ones, and you too, Loz, probably play with the best in Glenn Lazarus. So, where do you reckon Hargreaves sits with Glenn Lazarus?
Oh, well, I certainly wouldn't have him in front of Lazo, but I think he's one of the great modern-day front rowers. And I think that, you know, he was a guy that... And I liked your analogy that you said before, Block, about the fact that he would take on the opposition alpha. And that's what you want from your front rower, someone that takes it personally every week, someone that's aggressive, someone that, yes, can... You know, go a bit too far at times, but you want a protector in the front row, and you want to make sure that they feel you feel comfortable having them beside you, and knowing that they will do everything in their power to not let the opposition get over the top of you. And that's what I always admired about Jared, the fact that he's played as hard in game one as he will in game 300, and certainly, you know, over the last 20 years, he's been one of the best front rowers the game's seen. But there's plenty of him, yourself included, you know, that I had the luxury of playing with. Lazar, yourself, you know, guys like Chief Harrigan.
You play with Petro?
No, I didn't play with Petro.
Petro or Webke, good players.
They were good players, you know. And if you're talking about tough, like, you go back to that, the battles between Spud and Chief. Two front rowers that just never wanted anyone to get over the top of them.
Yeah,
and that's what you want.
And you know what? I love the respect after the game, and the respect they've got for each other.
I played with a guy by the name of Johnny Lomax.
Oh, mate, him and Ponga, mate, they were tough men.
Tough.
Yeah, tough. Yeah.
You know, just whack people. And when you
and loved licking their lips,
they'd be sent off, and yes, they'd spend a few weeks on the sideline. But you actually. Well, you know, if you're playing with the aggressive big bloke, you know they might spend a few weeks on the sideline, but usually you love playing with them.
To be completely honest, if I played with Jared, I wouldn't care if he played like that, tiptoed every week.
Yeah.
Because I know whenever I played up against him, it's on. Yeah. No, it is. Honestly, like, I would actually, I know this sounds, but I wouldn't think about many guys before games and stuff, but Jared, I know it's on. Mm. I'm going to cop something.
He's
coming. I'm going to cop a late hit. I'm going to cop an elbow, and he's going to put my face in the ground or something like that. But, like, for me, he's probably...
Sounds familiar. Yeah. Hello, Block.
Hello. No, but he's probably... Well, Block, is it fair to say he could have definitely played in your era, like, whereas some of the front rowers now probably could have.
Easily. Oh, no, mate, they all could, mate. The game today is... Mate,
but it's different. I understand where you're coming. The game is certainly faster. It's faster, and they're more athletic and more skillful. Yeah, they probably would have adapted, but Jared is a combination of a bit of the way the game
he's
was
a bit
played.
Of a throwback, isn't he?
In those 80s, 90s, compared to some of the front rowers, you just play like a modern day front rower.
Yeah,
I think Jared's one of those ones.
Find the ground, play the ball quick.
Yeah, he's got a bit of. Boring. 80s, 90s in it.
Who wins?
I think the Roosters. I thought last week against Manly, the Roosters, I've never seen a Roosters side lose so much ball. I reckon they would have worked on it all. Mate, geez, they've got some strike. You know, Manu, bloody Tupou. Mate, that Tupou, is he retired from representative football? Mate, I'd pick him in Origin all the time. You used to pick him all the time, Loz, didn't you? Mate, have you seen him under the high ball? There's no one better. Dom Young in that side. I think with South Sydney coming in with a new halfback in Hawkins, I think the Roosters win this one and win it pretty well.
Oh, I'm going Roosters. I think they'll celebrate Jared's 300th and they'll want to send him out a winner in this game. I think that this game will bring the best out in South. I don't know much about Dean Hawkins. They tell me he's got a good kicking game. He's a very controlling number seven. Defensively, he could have some issues, but I think they're looking for a guy to conduct this team and you know, message them around the park and get them to different positions. I can't tip South on what I've seen in the opening 2 weeks, but I certainly can tip the Roosters.
I'm going South. They just have to. They have to explode. And a guy, this is a big rivalry match, boys, isn't it? And if there's a guy who's playing his first game in South's colours who will go after people tonight, it's Jack Whiten. To make a point, he'll want his teammates to respect him. And what better way to go after a rival team? And I just think Keary out, Sandon Smith, he's come off the bench at hooker at nine, been great. But he's in the sixth role tonight. He might be great. But I just think I'm waiting for South to explode and that guy right there, Jack Whiten, will have a big impact on the game.
I know we've discussed Ilias and Hawkins, but outside of that, you look at the lineup, and it certainly looks the strongest team that they've put out there. Take the halfback out of it. You know, you put Jack back in the team, even their forward pack, their bench rotation looks a lot stronger to me.
Yeah, Roosters for me. Let's go to Belmore. Saturday, 3 p.m. and the Dogs favourites here, just $1.77. Titans, $2.05. Plus 1.5 at the line are the Titans here, and they get Kieran Foran back. Still no Josh Adokar after that shoulder injury sustained in round one, so Connor Tracy starts on the wing. Blake Wilson's on the other wing. I'll start with you, Grubby, your beloved Dogs. You'll be keen. You'll be tipping them. So state the case of why they win this game.
Well, you wouldn't believe it. I tipped the Dogs. But reason being is, as you said, Kieran Foran is big. He's a big in for the Titans, and the Titans had a shocking first-round performance. But I feel we have been building for this game, Loz. It's probably, honestly, if you look at it on paper and you look at the two teams, for me, I actually like the Dogs way better. But we have a very bad record at Belmore, 2 from 11, as you said, Mino. We've got to take all the emotion out of it, and we just got to play footy. We've got to defend well like we have been on our line. And there was parts last week of our attack that I really liked. Josh Curran, quick tap, floated the ball over the top to Crichton down the side. We have got to test the waters a bit. Mm. That's the type of footy team we got to be. But we're still trying to find our identity. And if we win 8-10, I'm happy. But we just got to grind this win away. We need a win. We need one win. We need that win for that confidence. We really do.
Who wins, Block?
I'm going to go the Bulldogs, purely on the sense of last week, going into halftime against the Sharks. It was 6-6 at halftime, and they got two tries pulled back to the Doggies away from home. So I think they're on the big up. I think they're on the improve. I'd love to see Burton. I think he's a wonderful player, Burton. I don't like it when he just sits back and waits to the last to kick. Mate, he's a runner. When he runs, I mean, it's alarm bells for the opposition. When he runs the ball, I love it when he does that. Crichton needs to get a little bit more early ball. I think the Dogs at home, and knowing, you know, the old school toughness, the old Dogs getting down in the gutter and wanting to play, I'd like to see that this week. The Titans, I was really disappointed. They're a different side when Kieran Foran plays, but whether he's getting a little bit older now, whether he's a little bit underdone, the expectation from him will be high, but I think the Dogs at home.
Yeah, he might be a little bit rusty, Kieran. They played round one without him, and then they've had the bye. I think if they do a job on Tino, the Dogs, I think if they can limit the impact that he has, and every time he carries the ball, make it a real focus to try and get forward, good contact, slow him down. I think if that's a priority and they nullify him, I think they win. I think there's enough there in the Bulldogs that I've seen that they can win. But Tino, I know we talk about Fisher-Harris's and Tarpany's and Leota's and Payne-Haas's and these type of blokes. He's as good as all those guys,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Dogs for me. Let's go to 5:30 Saturday. Dragons up against the Cowboys. And the Dragons, $2.70. Outsiders, plus 6.5 at the line at home. And the Cowboys, $1.47 for this one. Of course, the Dragons coming off that horror 38-0 defeat to the Dolphins last week. Helam Lukey's out for 6 weeks with an ankle injury, though. And it's a bit of a blow, though. They've got plenty of back rowers and some big forwards, don't they, the Cowboys? How do you see this one playing out, Block?
Well, I think they crowed a little bit too early, the Dragons, after that round one win. They should have sat back and enjoyed it, but not go the crow like they did. 38-0 last week. A Wayne Bennett coach side, as in the Dolphins, mate, they're always going to come back. He would have been in every scenario ever in rugby league, Wayne Bennett. So it was a good effort. 38, they're keeping the zero, but I couldn't really grab that. I think the Cowboys, you know, Drinkwater, Val Holmes, Tuolungi, Nanai in the back row, what a player he is.
Good.
I just think they've got too much football in them. I think the Dragons, you know, will do it tough. They'll beat the Dragons will beat the lowly sides, or the sides, you know, in the bottom half. But you know, having a look at the experience and the score try scoring ability of the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys will win and win well.
Lozza, there's a change at hooker for the Dragons as well. Jesse Marski, who's been a stalwart for the Bears in the New South Wales Cup. Jacob Little, HIA, hasn't
Yeah, passed. Little's been good for the Dragons. Grubby might be able to comment a bit more on Marski because I haven't seen a lot of him. But I think the Dragons will be improved at home. I think you might see the Dragons up and down all season. You'll see a good performance and then you might see a bad one. Whereas the Cowboys, for mine, a little bit too consistent. I like the look of their forward pack. And, you know, they struggled last week against Newcastle. So, you know, they beat a Dolphin side who were off, and then they struggled against Newcastle. So it's, I don't know whether they're going as good as what we think, the Cowboys, in the first 2 weeks. So I think this will be a tight game. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Dragons turned it around, but I'll stick with the Cowboys because I think I can trust them more than the Dragons at this stage. But I don't think the Cowboys are going anywhere near as well as people are making out.
And, yeah, I actually agree with you, Loz. But I'm with you, Block, with the Dragons. Some of the comments that come out after the first week, it was like you won one game, a good game, but it was very interesting. And they were a totally different side on the weekend. The Dolphins embarrassed them. To be honest, they honestly did. The Dragons in week one were great because Sully, Sua and Ravalawa ran as hard as I've ever seen them run ever. And they were generating quick play of the balls. And then the Dragons were on the front foot a lot. But I just feel they didn't run as hard. And that's what Flenno says. He's a bit old school, Flenno. Run hard, tackle hard. And that's how the Dragons will win games. They really will. It's not hard. But I just think the Cowboys outfit is too silky for them. But, Loz, yeah, you're right. I never really thought of it. I thought the Cowboys would have done a job on the Knights last week, if I'm honest, and they didn't. So, yeah, maybe they're not going as good as what we think, but I think they should get the job done this weekend against the Saints.
Dragons by one for me. Glorious Leichhardt Oval on Saturday evening. The Tigers and the Sharks. The Tigers are $3.80 plus 11.5 at the line. The Sharks $1.27 for this one. And, of course, the Tigers that move in the halves. Aiden Caesar set to start with Jaden Sullivan coming off the bench. Block?
Yeah, the eighth wonder of the world. It's great that they're back at Leichhardt. There's some talk about them pulling it down. I hope not. Can we all throw in 50 cents or something, or a dollar or whatever, so we can keep Leichhardt going? Mate, I like Benji. I love talking to him about footy and all that sort of stuff, right? But, mate, he's got to change his focus. The Tigers' ruck last week was terrible. It looked like they hadn't spent any time in the ruck. If you don't win the ruck, you don't win the ground, you don't win anywhere. So I'd like to see them, not that I'm a train all the time, I'm never there, but I'm saying it looks to me like they don't practice the ruck. So I hope he does well. I hope they do well this week, but, mate, the Sharks, you can't go against the Sharks. Too much strike in their side. We're talking about Teague Wilton a little bit earlier. I reckon that bloke's an Origin player in 2 or 3 years. I reckon they should bring him in and just show him what Origin's all about. But, mate, they've got too many good players in their side. The Tigers, I think, and I hate to say it, will struggle again.
Yeah, I agree with you with young Wilton. I think he's an enormous player. Runs a good line. And I think he missed a part of the season back end of the year last year for the Sharks, didn't he?
Was it shoulder?
I think he missed. And so I think it knocked them around a little bit. Look, you can't tip against the Sharks, but I don't know how many games it's been, but the Sharks haven't won at Leichhardt Oval since 2014, Bocca, so nearly 10
wow.
years.
How many games they played there?
I don't know. Might be one. Might two. Be two. But they haven't won there, so that should give Tigers supporters hope, but I'm going the Sharks.
Joshy.
Yeah, I'm with you, boys. Sharky's too good. Olin plays his first game for the Tigers, which will be interesting to see how he goes.
Do you reckon Blake's sleep at night going, mate, Olin's going to come out of the line and...
Well, that's what the Tigers need, a bit block,
yeah,
I reckon.
They do.
You know, someone that's just going to come out and do something. The Sharkies get Royce Hunt back, who's a lot of good go forward for them. So, Sharks too good for me.
Two cracking, I'm going the Sharks as well, cracking games on Sunday. 4 o'clock game. Parramatta $1.85 with tab. The slightest of favourites at Combank against Manly $1.95. 1.5 your line here. Para the minus. The old rivals, Para and Manly.
Here we go again. Manly and Para. Remember the two he's had?
They played it, I'm sure. I saw it somewhere the other night.
What an eagle can do to an eel. How do you feel? Haven't you heard that?
Yeah, no, I saw it. It was on the other night.
You're thumping, bumping. I was sticking up and bumping.
Anyway. Okay, who are you tipping here?
I know we've got to be quick. I'm going to go Manly. I'm going to go the away team. I think they're playing too good.
I'm going Parramatta at home. I think they'll rise the occasion. I think it's going to be a classic contest. Won't be much in it. Brown and Moses and Brooks and Cherry Evans. Wow, what a battle that'll be. But the big forwards, that's where the game will be won. And I think Parramatta will be ready to go.
I'm going to go Manly. I'm loving the way they're playing. Brooks, he looks free.
Looks good.
It's good to see. Fresh. He looks happy. No, he does. He looks happy. And Tommy T, it'll be a great game. It'll be a cracker. I think there might be one point in it, but I'm going to go Manly by one.
Yeah.
What about my man? Ola Kawatu. I just like saying it.
He's a good player too, isn't he?
Try and stop him.
Absolute handful. Yeah, Manly by one. In the last game, the Knights $1.77. The Melbourne Storm $2.05. The Storm +1.5 at the line here with Tab. And we know about these changes in the halves, of course, with Jack Cogger and Gamble in for the Knights. And with Jerome Hughes suspended, ridiculous suspension. Tyron Wishart, Jonah Pezet in the halves there for the Storm. How do you see a playing out blocker? Huge game for Newcastle.
Oh, mate, this is a big game for Newcastle. They've got to get their season started, haven't they? I mean, it looked like they played so well last year when they won that 10 in a row. They've been reading about themselves. Mate, you've got to roll the sleeves up. And they're playing against a side who loves to get down in the gutter too, the Melbourne Storm. If you beat Melbourne, it's not going to be by much. So for that reason, I'm going to go for the Melbourne Storm. Young Jonah Pezet. He's been well schooled. He's going to be he's a good player now. He's going to be a real, real good player. You see how much time he's got when he's kicking the ball, when he's running the ball. He's been well educated down there in Melbourne, so keep your eye out for him.
Yep, very good player. I'm going to Knights.
Yeah, Knights.
I'm going to Knights. I think Kalyn will have a big performance. Being back at their home ground, big crowd there Sunday night. I think they would have been disappointed with the way they played round one at home. Travelled to the Cowboys and looked good. I thought they played some decent football in that game. And without Storm, without their halves and Big Nelson, I reckon Knights in a tight one.
I don't want to say it, boys. I don't want to say the M word, but the Knights.
M word?
Yes.
Against the Storm.
Well, no Jerome Hughes.
Yeah,
No Nelson, no Munster.
But you want to attribute the M
word
to it?
I will. Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but I'm thinking it.
I know what you're saying.
They're hard to beat, but the Knights need a bounce back.
Have to win.
They have to bounce back.
Well,
big game.
If you think they're M's and they're paying $1.77, you should be unloading responsibly, of course.
Mm. Well, Tyron Wishart's an outside back and he's playing halfback.
Yeah. Oh, that's why they just have to win this game if they're serious.
Yeah.
The Knights about, making an impact in the top half of the competition. Yeah. Who'd you tip, Block?
I'm tipping the Melbourne Storm.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. I thought you were.
Nice.
Yeah, I am. Who are you tipping?
Newcastle. Not confidently. Not nowhere near as confidently as the grub man. Block, you can go home.
What?
You done.
Is that it?
Okay. You done skis.